Good. Super. Well, let's pray, shall we? We've got a great passage to look at tonight. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you, we're here to praise you. We can worship and praise your name, Lord, as we sing and as we read your words and share together from what it tells us, Lord. Lead us to you, Lord Jesus, that we'll see you and appreciate more of who you are as a result of looking at this passage tonight. Bless us, we pray, Father, by the Holy Spirit. Well, it's John chapter 13 we've come to. But I want to read a little bit from Matthew's Gospel first of all. It's a passage in Matthew's Gospel about the Last Supper, if you can find it. It's around about chapter 26, somewhere around there. It's verse 17 of Matthew 26. Yeah.
Right? Matthew 26.
Matthew 26 and verse 17. You found it yet,
Jean?
Yeah, I found it, but
I can't
see it. You found it, but you can't see it. It says Lord's Supper above it, is the heading, yeah. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city and to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And just last little bit, before they went out, it says that then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep and the flock will be scattered." And Jesus has told them, as you can see in the other gospel accounts, that Peter was going to deny Jesus. Now there are three things that Matthew picks out and Luke picks out. Three things that happened during the Passover, apart from the Passover meal. One was that the disciples had an argument about who's going to be the biggest, the most important. Then there was the account where Jesus actually says, "Somebody's going to betray me." Yeah? And the other is that he says to Peter, "You're going to deny me." So those three factors tell us it's what happens at the Passover. Now, if you go to John's Gospel, chapter 13, in John chapter 13, John doesn't mention that it's the Passover. Do you know why he doesn't mention it's the Passover? Because everybody else knows it's the Passover. Yes, and he's filling in the details, some of the very personal details we'll see in his account that the other Gospel writers didn't put in. And there's some really very personal, special things that John brings in for us. So we get to chapter 13 of John. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. So Jesus is aware, as the Passover feast is drawing to a begin to start, he knows it's time for him to leave. It's going to fulfill his purposes. And you notice the term is called the Passover feast. Do you know what the Passover feast is? It's not just the meal on the one day. Like good Jews, it's a 7-day job. A 7-day feast. The feast covers the whole period of time. Yeah? So when John uses the word feast, he doesn't just mean the meal, he means the period of the week. You can read earlier on in John's Gospel, it says some people, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, some people became to believe in him during the feast. It wasn't that they were at the meal, no. It was during the time they were there, yeah. During that period of time. Yeah, okay. So, that's what's happening. So, it's all coming to a head. Right? Jesus knew that it was time for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So, we sanctified this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So Jesus is going to show something that's really, really special. That different translations have, he loved them to the end, he showed them his love to the limit. Well, he does, in a wonderful way. Right, so, the evening meal was being served. Yeah? And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. The evening meal was being served. So what's happened before? Is, they've come to the house, where that special room was arranged. The table is a low-lying table, it's a U-shaped thing, you know, how they're knelt down on one arm and ate with the other hand, you know, okay. So they're all lying down at a U-shaped table, and when they came in, can you imagine what they were doing? They were talking, but they were thinking about, because as they come in the door, there's a bowl of water and cloths for the servants would wash your feet after you came in outside, after you've been on a busy journey, refresh you, wash your feet, clean up a bit, and then get down for the meal. Well, they saw the bowl and thought, well, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. So they ignored that bit. And then when they get to the table, they look down. Which is the important spot? Who's going to be near Jesus? So they argue about who's going to be the big shots. Right? So all that's in the melee of the meal. So this is what prompts Jesus to do what Jesus is going to do. Right? They've got some lessons to learn. So the evening meal was being served, and Judas, we know that Judas is going to be betraying Jesus fairly shortly. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he was coming from God and was returning to God. So Jesus is fully aware of who he is. He's God's son. Everything belongs to him. He's top of all. Right? And he knew all that. He's aware of that. And what does he do? It says, knowing all of that, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Yeah? What's Jesus going to do? Yeah, but what is he doing as he's washing their feet? He's taking the place of the servant. You know, we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he says, Jesus, although he was equal with God, he humbled himself. Came down the scale. Right? And this is part of the humbling. You know, he who is top takes the bottom place. Right? So he humbles himself in front of all these disciples. And I'm telling you, this is step one. The real final humbling is when he gets nailed on the cross. Yes, but this is starting the process. Downhill. Yeah. So Jesus takes to himself, he gets up from the table, took off his outer clothing, yeah, so he takes off all the top stuff, you see, and puts a towel around his waist. Why does he put a towel around his waist? So he don't get wet? No, that's not the reason. To rest their feet on it? No, he won't rest his feet on it. No. To wipe their feet! To wipe their feet. He washes their feet with his hands. He kneels down. Obviously they're all lying down here. He kneels down, washes their feet with his hands, then uses the end of the towel to dry them. Then you're on to the next one. Okay, so that's what's going on there. Yeah. So, they are the disciples having their feet washed. What do you think they're thinking? It's seriously embarrassing, I suspect, yeah? Right, okay. So, having poured water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See, I told you what he used the towel for. So, that's what he's doing. He's going round them one by one. Who he started with, we're not told, but eventually he gets to a guy called Peter. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Yeah? Why did he say that? I don't think he's that. I don't think he didn't think Jesus was going to do it. Jesus is going to wash his feet, yeah? And I don't think he didn't think he was worthy. He is embarrassed. Yeah. You can't be doing this, Lord. You're supposed to be top, you know. You're not supposed to be doing servant stuff. Yeah? It's too embarrassing, Jesus humbling himself like that. Yeah? So Peter, as Peter does always, has to say something, yeah? So, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Well, he's really saying to Peter, you haven't got it, you don't know what I'm doing. And a part of it was, he said he'll explain later on, but when did they come to really understand what Jesus was doing, humbling himself? It was after the cross. Yeah? They will get it, but not straight away. So he says, Peter, you have to trust me in this one. I have to humble myself. Yeah? It's part of the process of me saving you. He doesn't say all of that, but that's what it's about, isn't it? So, you'll later understand. Yeah? No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. That's not very good, is it? Do you know there are two words you can never put together? And it is no Lord. Yeah? No Lord. If you call him Lord, it means yes, Lord. Yeah? But Peter, no, you can't. And I assume he pulled his feet up then, pulled them away. Yeah? So, you're not going to wash my feet. It's actually really quite strong. You'll never wash my feet. Never say never. Yeah? So, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Right. Now Jesus is using physical language to express spiritual truths, but Peter's not going to get it, like the rest of the people never got it what Jesus said yet. Unless I wash you, it means unless I cleanse you, right, you're not part of my team, you're not part of me. Yeah? Right? But Peter's just thinking about washing, that's all, right? So he says, well, unless I wash you, you've no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. How about that? As if getting more washed means you're more to Jesus, belong to Jesus. That's not what it's about.
No.
Yeah, but that's how he's thinking, yeah. So, but I like Peter. You know, he's always enthusiastic. He's saying, you know, well, if it comes to me being part of you, I need to be washed. Well, I'll go for the whole thing. Right. Good. Well, Jesus answers that one as well. And he replies, Jesus answered, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. Yeah, you've just been to the swimming bath, yeah? Right. And that on a natural level, that's true. People who've been, if they're going to visit a place, they get washed up and cleaned before they go. So when they arrive, all they need to do is clean up their feet, that's all. Right. But what does Jesus mean when a person's had a bath? They're cleansed. Yes, they're forgiven. That's really what it's about. You become one of his, right? That's what he's getting at, yeah? Person who's had a bath, who's been washed through and through, you only need to keep your feet clean. What does he mean by that? It means as Christians, we go on day by day, and we occasionally do it wrong. And all we need to do is get it right by asking for God's forgiveness and putting things right where we are, yeah? It's what's called sanctification. We are justified, that's the big term, right? We're righteous, we've been backed, right? But we need polishing up as well as we go along, right? So that's what Jesus is getting at, although he's using bath terms, right? Mm-hmm. Right, so a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet, his whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. What's that tell you? There's someone in the room who isn't clean, and Jesus doesn't mean he's not had a bath. Yeah, you've got the point. This is spiritual language. They don't quite always get it, yeah? But it doesn't mean he's not had a bath, or there's muck on his face, or something like that. He's talking about this guy's not saved. That's the problem. Yeah? But Jesus is telling them, I know who he is. Yeah? And that's important, because Jesus is going to tell these disciples, in not very long from now, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be executed, and all of that stuff is going to happen, and I want you to know, I know what's going to happen, I'm running the show, and so when it happens, don't lose your faith, because I'm telling you before it happens, so you know I'm in charge. Right? That's really what it's about, yeah? So, what we get to is, he says, not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said, not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. So, all that's done. Yeah? And they are all completely bamboozled by it, I guess. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. Well, probably not, but he's going to explain a bit for them anyway. He said, you call me teacher and Lord. And that was the terms they used for him. Rabbi, teacher, yeah? Lord. Yeah? You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so. For that is what I am. So Jesus is making quite clear, he is who they say he is. But then he changes the words around. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, because it's as Lord, the one who's the highest, who's humbled himself, is setting them a lesson. Yeah? So now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Yeah? What's he mean by that? Does he mean to say we should have a bowl when you come in here and wash your feet?
No?
They do that. Yeah. Well, yes, but what did Jesus do in washing their feet? He humbled himself. Right? And when he says about you should do that when you're dealing with us, don't come the high and mighty.
Yeah.
Serve people rather than be served.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting at. Of course, people do wash other's feet and so on, and you read in the New Testament, that was obviously part of the practice, because that's how they lived, you know? And so, but the point being is, Jesus is telling you how to do things, not what to do. What I mean by that, let me just give you another point. He's not telling you to go around washing feet all the time, but he's telling you to go around being humble. Yeah? Same again, let me just give you the example of the Lord's Prayer. You know, when Jesus was asked by the disciples, how do we pray? You know, John taught his disciples, who do you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, and so on. Do you notice what Jesus said? He said, this is how you should pray. He didn't say, this is what you should pray. Because the Lord's Prayer isn't just a prayer to be learned to say.
No.
It's a prayer that tells you the things you ought to include in your praying. Yeah? By asking for forgiveness, for blessing God for his goodness, and all of those things. It tells you how to pray. It's not just about what to pray. This is exactly here. Jesus isn't talking about what you should do with your feet. It's how you use your feet in serving others. Yeah. So that's clear that about me, yeah? Right. Okay. I set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now then. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, and no messenger greater than the one who sent him. Yeah? So he's making the point. If I, as top, have done this, then you should be coming all top. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're in a high position or just one of the ordinary Joes, doesn't matter. You're to serve one another. That's what it's about, yeah? I've done it. No messenger is greater than the one who sent him. So, you know, I'm sending you, so you just remember you're the ones that have been done to do the things, yeah? Now, if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Well, that's true for all of us. It's not enough to know what you should do. It's doing it. That's the hard bit, though, isn't it, yeah? But knowing what you should do is important, yeah? But he said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. Right. Okay? So Jesus is encouraging these guys that he says, I'm telling you all this beforehand, so you're prepared. Now we get to this bit about Judas now. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Yeah, so he says, I know this. I know not all of you are on my side. Right? And I know those I've chosen. Well, he's chosen them all, hasn't he?
Yes.
Right? But there's a difference between Judas being chosen and the rest of them being chosen. They were all chosen to be apostles, but 11 of them were chosen for salvation. Yeah? Judas was given the chance, but he didn't respond at all, yeah? But he says, this is to fulfill what was in the scripture. So it's prophesied somebody's going to betray him. Did you know that? Yes. And this is a quote from a psalm that's referring to a guy called Ahithophel. And he was a wise counsellor for King David, who betrayed David. And the psalm talks about that. But this phrase he uses, he who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. What's the picture that's there? Someone sharing bread means that you're in fellowship, it's hospitality, you're in it together. Right? He who shares my bread has put the boot in. That's really a nice way of putting it. Lifted on the heel means he's put the boot in. And that was prophesied of Judas. So, he's got to do it, hasn't he? Does he? Huh? He chooses to. And God knew he was going to choose it as well. That's the way it works here. Yeah, but it's a mystery. But anyway, after this, I'm not quite there. I'm telling you this, telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. See? So Jesus is making it clear, I'm telling you this, this is prophecy. It's prophecy. So you know, I know what's going on. It wasn't an accident that Jesus got killed. It wasn't a mistake. Jesus is in charge of what's going on, as we'll see, yeah? Then he says this, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send, accepts me. And whoever accepts me, accepts the one who sent me. So Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, your job's carrying on. You're still going to be my sent ones. That's what an apostle means, yeah? And even though it looks like it's all falling apart, you have still got the commission, yes? You've still got the job. And when they accept you, they accept me. But when they accept me, they accept Father as well. So that's what he said. Right. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. So Jesus is getting worked up, I suppose, about it. What's going to happen? And he's going to make it quite clear who the betrayer is. Before now, you remember in Matthew he said, one of you is going to betray me. And they all said, who, Lord?
Yeah.
And they all said, not me, is it, Lord? And all of them go around, and then Judas, not me, Lord, is it? I just wonder what Jesus looked at him, you know?
Yeah.
It's you, Lord. Yeah. Anyway, he's a hypocrite.
At what point did he know, though, that he was going to betray? When did he actually decide to
betray? I don't know. I don't know when he decided to betray Jesus. We know that he went to the priests before this particular time. But somewhere along the line, in those 3 years, he decided he wasn't going anymore. And I think it was when Jesus began to show that he wasn't the kind of Messiah that he wanted.
Yeah.
But Jesus had chosen him, knowing that that would happen. It wasn't a mistake on Jesus' part. Yeah. But anyway, where have I lost my place now, yes? Yeah. Now, he was troubled. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, in Matthew he says, somebody's going to betray me. And they say, oh Lord, who is it? And he says, the one who eats bread with me. Well, that's pretty general, isn't it? It could be anybody. Yeah. So he's got them all worried. Sometimes it's good to have to think about, is it me, Lord? Mm. You know, David had, search me, O God, know my heart.
Yeah.
I'm capable of doing pretty stupid things, Lord, so, you know, watch me, Lord. Yeah. So, but now he's going to make it absolutely clear. That's why he's getting built up, yeah? He's going to tell them who he is, or some of them anyway. Yeah. Right. One of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to which of them he meant. So they're all looking at each other, a bit gobsmacked, as we'd say, yeah? One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Right? Who's that?
We assume it's John.
And it says he was reclining, they're lying down, elbow one way, hand the other for feeding, you know. Yeah, they fed themselves with their hands in those days, you know. Right? And there's something interesting about this Passover meal. Yeah? I don't know if you know the Passover meal was instituted by Moses. How did they have to eat the Passover meal in those days? Dressed, standing up, ready to go. Yeah? But now, customs changed, they're down. There's another thing that's important, we'll see later on. During the time of the Passover in Egypt, nobody was to leave the house, were they? Because if they went out, they get killed. Yeah. Nobody should leave the house. But we find out that Judas pops out for something. Yeah. Anyway, customs change over the time. Here we are, right? Okay, where have we got to? Right. Yes. The chapel's leaning next to Jesus. Yeah. Right. So that tells us what side John was on relative to Jesus. He's on Jesus' right side, because you eat with your right hand. Yeah. So John's next to him, and he leans back and has a little quiet word. It's a quiet word, yeah, quiet word, because Peter, somewhere near John, motions to him, it says. He motioned to the disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Peter always wants to know, you see. Who's he talking about? So leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, who is it, Lord? Jesus answered, and I assume this is quiet as well, just for John, possibly Peter, yeah. It's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. that's part of the Passover meal, you know. Mm-hmm. They ministered to one another like that. Yeah, dip the bread in a dish of mixed fruit and bitter herbs and things. Yeah. So then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. So we've got his full name. We know who he is. It's Judas Iscariot. Jesus gave it to him. Right. Now then, what's going on? Why did Jesus do that? Why did he give it the way he did to Judas? Sorry? It's the last opportunity. It's to answer the question that John and Peter have. He's the guy. But for Judas, he's saying, "Is last chance, Judas. Last chance. You don't go away. Otherwise, you're in big trouble."
Why do I say though? I don't know if it's in the scripture, but it says that when he took the bread, that's when Satan entered him.
Comes here. It's pretty soon now, yeah. Right. As soon as that's next verse. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And that's it. It's finished for Judas. Jesus never deals with him now in any sense, apart from saying, you know, you come to betray me basically later on. Yeah. Why? Because he wouldn't respond to what Jesus' grace was. He just hardened himself more and more until he makes himself wide open to Satan, and Satan takes advantage. Takes over.
He's actually
deceiving Jesus. Well, yeah, he's a con man for all of them. Not one of those disciples knew it was Judas.
No.
He was that good. So, Satan enters into him. So that's Judas. He's lost it now. Right? Yeah. And then Jesus says this: what you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. Mm-hmm. Get a move on. Yeah? Why? What's Jesus telling him? He knows, you know, Judas now knows he's been rumbled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jesus knew it already, but I mean, Jesus makes it quite obvious to him, Judas, you've been rumbled. I know what you're up to. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, what Jesus is saying to him is, you've got a job to do, do it fast. Because, just think, Judas and the authorities had decided Jesus wasn't going to get crucified during the feast. Too dangerous. Right? But Jesus is going to get crucified during the feast because Jesus has decided that's the time it's to be. It's in the book. Right? So Jesus says to Judas, go and move him on. And Judas will go and says, hey, he knows, we'll have to do it fast because if you know, they'll get away otherwise. So Jesus, he just turned the screws up. Yeah, things are moving fast now. Whatever you do, what are you going to do? Do it quickly. Get shifting, yes. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. No, they just didn't understand. Because we have the explanation. Since Judas was in charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. Yeah? What's going on there? The disciples don't know quite what's going on, because I said they haven't heard the conversation, I guess. They just think Judas, he was the treasurer. You knew that though, didn't you? Yeah. Yes. Right?
You can't trust the
treasurer. You can't trust the treasurer. That's the problem there. Right? But they knew that Judas having charge of the money, he might have been sent out during the feast. What do you mean by the feast? Does it mean the Passover meal? No, it means that during the feast, people gave away gifts to the poor. It was part of the Passover practice. Or it may mean that they're going to buy something for the morning. Yeah? And the shops, I mean, there's plenty of people in Jerusalem at this time. I'm sure some shops are open. Yeah? So, he's just saying is, go out and do what you're going to do. They think it's just about going shopping or something like that, or making a gift. So, that's it. He goes out. Right? As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Now, Judas had taken the bread, he took the bread, and as he took the bread, he let Satan in. That's what he did, baby, yes. And so, the sun goes down quickly in the Middle East, yeah. But that's not what it's about, really. It's not just night, physically, it's night inside him. He's in the dark, seriously dark now. Yeah. Judas goes off to do his dirty work, and then Jesus, as John tells us in the rest of this section, Jesus has got a few things to say to the disciples during this Passover meal. His last words to his brothers and sisters, what? There's his brothers there at the time, yes. But before he goes to the cross. Yeah? So that, it brings us to, Peter's denial. Well, perhaps we can just look at that, can we? We've got time?
Yeah, very soon.
Yeah? Right, so it's just a little bit, yeah? It was 9. Verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." So Jesus is saying, it's happening now. This is it. I've come to the limit, the finish, yeah? Yeah? I'm going to be glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. So there's some glory coming, although it doesn't look like it. It's the cross as far as they can see, but it's glory. We look at the cross differently to what they did at first, don't we? So, my children, this is talking to his dear disciples, the ones that are his now, yeah? My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Where's he going? Yeah, he's going to die first of all, then he's going to the grave, and then he's going to heaven. Yeah? But they can't come now, is what he means, yeah? Right, yeah. A new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. He's illustrated it by washing their feet, of course. But he's done more than that. He's done that all this time he was with them. He's loved them, yeah? Right, and he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? You know, I was in Africa some years ago, and I was talking about husbands and wives. And I said, who's got the easiest job, the wife or the husband? Yeah, wives, submit to your husband, he says, you know. And they all be sheepish about that, right? And I said, who's got the hardest job, the husband or the wife? And I said, I think the husband's got the hardest job. Do you know why? Because Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Mm-hmm. You know, the measure of your love is to be Jesus' love. Yeah? And that's what he says here for us, for all of us. Yeah? I was just applying it to them in their circumstances. But Jesus is saying, as I have loved you, you've got to love one another. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Jesus loved you that much, and you've got to love those people that much. Those people that get on your wires, those people that aren't as perfect as you'd like them to be. You've got to love them like Jesus loved you, just like he loved you. Well, do you know how you can do that?
Yeah.
You can't do it yourself. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's what it's about. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You've not got the power. Yeah. And you can't have Christianity without Christ, you know. The rules won't do anything. It's his life that make it all happen, yeah. Okay, so I give you this command. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that great? It doesn't matter how perfect your knowledge of the Bible is, and I'm hoping it's improving, yeah. It doesn't matter how good you are, all these things, but if you don't love your brothers and sisters, the world's not going to be impressed. Big challenge there, kids?
Yeah.
Right. So, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? He always got the question, doesn't he? Yeah? Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Wow. That's a prophecy of how Peter's going to die, of course.
Yeah?
But he's going to be with him one time, but he can't come at the moment, yeah? Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Did he mean it?
Yeah, yes.
He did. Yeah. He did. Yeah. He's really, really genuine, this guy, you know. Up and down, blows hot and cold, but he means it. He means it. But what's the problem for Peter is, Peter doesn't know Peter. He thinks he knows himself. You know, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other. But Jesus says this. Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you'll disown me 3 times. Wow. That's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. And what should he have said? What should he have said? We'll finish with that. What should Peter have said? Jesus says, look, Peter, you lay down your life for me, I'm telling you, before the cock crows, you'll disown me 3 times. Well, he would have said that, yeah. No, see, there's nobody else. No, no, no. Well, he should have said, Lord, if you say I can do it, I probably can do it, yeah? I'm going to need your help not to do it. Stop me. Yeah. There, you see, when you try to do it in your own strength, you will come the cropper. What a sad bit. But anyway, he's washed your feet, brothers and sisters. Have you had a bath? That's the question.
Yeah.
Good. Right. So just keep your feet clean.
Yes.
Let's pray that in. Oh Father, thank you. Jesus has given himself to make us clean. Lord, you've called us, you've chosen us, you've blessed us. And it's a mystery, Lord, we don't understand the ways and workings of the heart of man. And if we can't understand ourselves, how on earth are we going to begin to understand so much higher than ours? But Lord, we thank you for what you've shown us of your great love, the full extent, Lord. You willing to humble yourself to the lowest of places, to the raises up to the highest, Lord. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to fulfill the call you put on our lives. And Lord, thank you that you've made us your children, to send us out with the message of hope and truth. Bless us and use us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Great. Well, we'll have one more song, we'll pray, and then we'll... got a little song to finish with, yes.
Yeah.
From Heaven You Came. Oh, that's a good one. Just the right place, isn't it? I'll turn the lights up. Are you okay in the dark down there?
We're not in the dark.
We're not in the dark. Control B. Have you turned the... Oh, you turned that...
Yeah.
It's warming up. It's on the blink, as they say. Did you press the power this
time?
It's fine. Right.
Patience.
I think that's going to switch off. Yeah. I think it's just... Oh! Hang on, hang on. It's not even slow, isn't it? Da da dee 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 dee.
Come alive!
I think it's switching down. I do believe it's switching down. Just leave it, you'll have to switch yourself off before it comes back on. Oh well, let's pray. We're going to pray then, and then we can sing these songs.
Yeah.
Afterwards, yeah. Yeah, I believe that, yeah. Right, what are we going to pray about, dear friends?
The little boys.
The little boys in Thailand.
Four out.
Four out, there's another nine to come, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So three, yes, there's 13 boys and the member of staff as well, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah.
How
yeah.
Did they get that?
Sorry?
How did they get
that? A swimmer in front, a swimmer behind, and the little fella between them, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got the child's oxygen under your eyes, yeah. Yeah. Right, it's not flashing, so what was it with you?
Yeah, that's on, wasn't it? Oh. So
It's working now, I see a light, yes!
Seen the light,
hey. Seen the light, right, okay. She's got to pick up the signal now. Pretty flowers. Do you think you'll get the message?
Yeah. Do you think we should pray about Brexit?
Pray about Brexit? Well, yes, I suppose we ought to, really.
I mean, everybody could turn against the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Leave us with nothing.
Well, yeah. Yes, I think we should, yes.
Pray for your leaders, doesn't it? Yeah.
Pray for your leaders, yeah. Don't they need some wisdom? Oh,
we're going to have to step in.
Right. Yes, right, well, yeah. It's knowing what to pray, though, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's so much confusion about.
Pray for the football, they did marvellously yesterday.
Yeah,
fantastic game it was!
Ah, oh, yeah.
I've had a lovely day
for
it, Bob. It was
no.
Really good.
Right, yeah. The lovely... I was impressed with. I didn't watch it, I just saw the comments afterwards.
Yeah.
But the lads who were talking to me, they all said, we did this, we did that. They're a team.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not big personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
It's a clean match as well, yeah. other than
right.
With Columbia, which is
that
awful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a punch-up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. So, well, anyway, when's the next one then?
Wednesday.
All right. Pray for more baptisms.
Yeah.
Ah, well, there's a thought, yes.
Yeah.
Right. John.
Wayne's not well. Who?
The Queen.
The Queen, is she not? Right.
Trouble with her knees, apparently.
Okay.
Arthritis.
All right.
You're
in
the club.
She's in the club. She knows how it feels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bless, yeah.
I think we should pray that we can all have our brothers and sisters as well.
All of our brothers and sisters, yeah. And, I mean, I know it's lovely to have the warm weather, but I think some people will probably be struggling with this, you know.
Yeah.
In some parts of the world, people are dying from this.
Yeah.
And in Japan, they got flooded out.
They've had an influx near Hiroshima.
Yeah. Being less lovely.
It was near Hiroshima.
You're
going
to say something?
Well, they'll
have been
for
a while, we're all
cokey. Just a few, yes.
Two people, yeah. Okay, let's just pray and then we'll see these people. Father, we want to thank you for the four boys that are out of the tomb, really, Lord. We pray for the rest of the helpers, Lord, again, give them wisdom. We pray, Lord, that the other boys will be rescued, Lord, and everybody get out now safe and sound. We thank you for what's been done already, Lord. Just pray you encourage them and help them on, Lord. Grant them all your protection and mercy. Father, we want to thank you closer to home. We can pray for each other. Lord, we pray for those that are suffering with illnesses, Lord. We remember Doreen again, very poor, Lord. Have your mercies for her. Lord, sort out the problems for her legs, we pray, Lord. Pray for Val. Don't know how she's doing at the moment, but we just lift her up and get stronger day by day. Encourage her, we pray. Father, we want to thank you. We can ask you to help. For those that eyes aren't so well, bits and pieces of our bodies, Lord, wearing, wear the tear of time, we just pray, Lord, for your gracious help and strength in each one. Different and diverse. It's amazing, Lord, you're able to handle all of it and not get bamboozled like we do. Father, we just want to thank you then for each other. Help us to love one another. Lord, help us to know your spirit's enabling, God, because what you're asking us to do is beyond what normal humans can do, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for the enabling presence and power of your Holy Spirit. You will work in us. That love that we've received from you, Lord, to flow out to others as well. Lord, thank you for your patience and grace to us. And we just commit each other into your hands. Pray for our families, for those with youngsters, Lord. Ask your blessing for this what time of the year, Lord, for your protection and help, Lord. And pray you keep people out of harm's way and out of danger. We just remember Aunt Alice and Sabina, Lord, as they are getting ready to come back, I suppose, Lord. I don't know quite how the timing is on that. We pray for your mercies, protection for them, and travelling such a long distance. Have mercy on you, pray. So we commit all these things into your hands, and thank you, Lord, we can pray for each other. We pray for our nation, Lord, we pray for wisdom, for the government, for the Prime Minister, that they'll do the right things for your plans for our future as a nation. Lord, we just ask you to intervene some way, your way, Lord, that there'll be clarity, there'll be harmony, Lord, that things will be done right, we pray. We pray for our Queen. We ask Lord your blessing on her and help her to cope over these frailties of the years. Lord, you've given us such a long and useful life, Lord, and we pray for your comfort and help for her at this time now, Lord. Just be with her and bless her. So in all these things, Lord, we say thank you for your grace and ability to pray about them all, Lord. Thank you, Lord, just reading this morning. Lord, it says how the prayers are all gathered up in a bowl, up in Revelation, it says, Lord. Father, they're not lost. Not always answered as fast as we like, Lord, but they're not lost at all. They're just waiting for you to answer them at the right time. So thank you for prayer, Lord. We can ask you to bless. We praise you, Lord. You're willing and able.